Thanks be to the Lord for the great privilege that we may be here to worship and to meet the Lord, to have fellowship with Him and with one another. I already on Sunday in Zurich and on Wednesday night I gave you a report about the last missionary trip, which was one of the most important ones and most blessed ones. But I do hard to repeat tonight what I said already twice. God willing, this time in the circular there will be written some things of that what God has done. And so I ask for your understanding that tonight will not once again give you a report, but that all then can read it in the circular, which will be published very shortly from now. I can just say God has blessed beyond measure, given grace, opened new doors, and not only that, but also many hearts. And if one hears the singer sing, and thinking about the word of the Lord from Matthew 10, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then it says, ask the Lord of the harvest, that He may send out laborers into His harvest. Not in my, not in your harvest, but in His harvest, that He sends. And whomever He sends, He will do His will. He who goes by Himself will also harvest Himself. What He will harvest, we don't know. But whoever is sent by God, he will bring in the harvest of God. And that what He commissioned by the Lord, He will also fulfill. The greetings I didn't extend of those whom we know, especially from Brother Arthur Davis from Madras, then from Brother Gil Nobel from Rawalpindi, and here and there brothers gave special greetings to all. Also those whom we don't know or whom you don't know, they nevertheless extended greetings. Yes. And tonight we want to look at God's word. I don't know myself what shall be said. God knows it. And if we trust Him, no one will come too short. Each one will be able to take something home. For each one will be something from the Word, which strengthens him, which encourages him, which comforts him, and which gives him strength and courage. I hope that we will hear God's word prayerfully, and that the Lord will do the rest. Two thoughts stood out to me from the word of introduction. The one with the judgment, and the other one with the names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I looked up the two scriptures which deal with this thought briefly. The one place is in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. There the 70 disciples returned and they were rejoicing that also the evil spirits are submissive to them. And the Lord says to them in verse 20, Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. All blessings, all experiences, everything what we can have is not in substitute for the divine fact that the names of the redeemed are written in heaven. And this is our joy. I was reading on and I found out that our Lord was rejoicing. It's probably the only place which I at least know of where it is written that Jesus rejoiced. In John 11 I read that he wept when he was at the grave of Lazarus. I was reading that he was sorrowful, sad, that he was angry when he went into the temple. And there are many occasions which show him in different ways, also of the man of pain, man of sorrow. But here in Luke 10, it stood out to me right after the sentence that your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. And this was after he told to his own, rejoice not about that the demons are subject unto you, and that you have power to heal the sick. This is wonderful. This is glorious. About this one can report. But the rejoicing sits therein where God has given grace and that the people experienced their redemption by faith. And here we read, rejoice rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. When does a man rejoice who came to the faith in Jesus Christ? You all know, firstly, there is a sadness, there is a contrition, a sorrow, a repentance, which somehow wants to bring us to the point that we recognize the grace of God and that we experience it. But when this prayer condition with repentance and sorrow and contrition and conversion has reached its completion, then suddenly sets in a joy and a jubilation. And how often one has witnessed it at the conversions, that the hearts started to rejoice and to praise. And the main thought was, I know that my name is written in the book of life. One just has to have experienced this once. And I think we're not only coming to this place to hear God's word and to let it bypass, but to hear and to experience that, what it says, in that hour, where Jesus could say to his own, rejoice rather, that your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. How shall it be with you and with me? When we have the certainty in our hearts and knowing that our names are written there, when our Lord at this occasion was rejoicing, then this is your and my occasion to thank God for the redemption and for that he has written our names before the foundation of the world into the Lamb's book of life. Who of you, you don't have to raise your hands, but who of you has experienced God, thanking God with all his heart? I tell you, it's necessary. A man who experienced the salvation of God, he will not be able to bypass it. The hour must come in which the Spirit of God bears witness to our spirit that we have become the children of God by the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then comes the certainty in us that our names are written in heaven. And with this certainty comes something which our heart fills with thankfulness and with joy. Yes, I know that my name is written there, as a song goes. I told it to you before. I don't know whether there's another place in the scripture in which it is written that Jesus rejoiced. But in that hour, when the emphasis was laid upon, rejoice, not about that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Because some will have been casted out, devils and spirits, whose names are not written there. Because in Matthew 7, from verse 21, we are of course reported that many on that day will come and say, have we not in your name cast out devils, did this and that? And the Lord has to answer them, I don't know you. But here are people whom he has called, whom he has set into his ministry, who went out in his commission, who did his ministry, who preached his word, who brought his grace to the people. And nevertheless, in summary, the whole thing was emphasized. Rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. When this service tonight could not produce anything else but only one thing, namely that the Spirit of God would just touch us so deeply, penetrating our hearts, that we have this assurance, this certainty, taking it home, and together with our Lord, rejoicing with our Lord in the Spirit. And then comes, I thank thee, O Father, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, but hast revealed them unto the babes. Then comes verse 23, probably. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. These disciples were around their Lord who called them and who placed them into his ministry, and to them whose names are written in heaven, to them he could say, Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Many righteous, many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. When the Lord could stand here today, he could and would say the same words. Many desired to see what we see and to hear what we hear, and in that time, to live in this time in which we are living. And we have the privilege, by the grace of God, to live in this time where all things come to its fulfillment. And we can lay our main emphasis on these things upon which God has laid the emphasis, namely, unto the salvation of our soul, unto the salvation of our God, unto that what happened with us. Firstly, next, the place with the judge before the heavens were fleeing. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? In this word is written, there's only one, not two or three, there's one lawgiver. And the lawgiver is also the judge. When we are lawgiver, then we can also be judge. If we are not, then we must take heed that we are not judged ourselves. This word stood out to me. It's written literally, there's one lawgiver and judge. And he judges not on his own discretion. He judges according to his law. And Paul writes to the Thessalonians of the lawless one who will be manifested. And he writes, the lawlessness is sin. The sin is brought to light by the law, not by arguments, but the law convicts us of sin. Before that is written, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. More clear it cannot be said to you and to me and to all who respect God's word. And there are not many of it. Of them, there are not many left. Each one takes the rosins from the cake, and then he thinks to be able to take the mouth full. But people who are ready to let every word of God be written, and believing every word with all his heart, also that what applies to them, each one, it's very easy to believe words which apply to others. This is one thing. Everybody can do it. He doesn't have to make any efforts to it. But that word, which applies to you and to me, which puts us into the light of the Word and lets us look into the mirror of the Word. Write that what we don't want to believe, write this we must believe, so that we can be helped. Let us remember this serious sentence or this passage. Do not speak evil of one another, dear brothers. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law. You see, I didn't say anything about against the law. You just need to say something against your brother, and then you said it against the law of God. And then God will be your judge according to his law, just as you were the judge of your brother. And what will remain at the end? Those who you judged goes out freely. The question is whether you will go out freely. This is the big question. But the books will of course be all opened, and then the jurisdiction will take place. He that speaketh evil against his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. Not only against the law, but he judges even the law. And the law is not here that you and I are judging it, but that you and I are judged by the law. And this happens only when we really submit under it with all our hearts. Only there's only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So, this is God's word. And believe me, I was thinking on everything else, but not on this. But the word of introduction just brought us to Luke chapter 10. And for this we are grateful. And also to this other word. I brought with me a sermon of Brother Branham tonight. And you all know it's the spiritual food which strengthens us, encourages us. And the most wonderful in these sermons is therein that they were not theory and presented to the people, but that God, by His grace, was standing behind it and confirmed it. And by this, fulfilling the promises, bringing them to a divine reality, that the confirmation of God was there, which was also promised to us. It's a word from the prophet Isaiah, which I would like to read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, from verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Here we are again with the same word as in Luke 10. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Here it's of the Lord two things are said. The one thing, that he was totally humiliated, and he could not be looked at, so marred, more than any man. And then exalted very high, so that kings and nations would be astonished, and that they have to shut their mouths, because that what nobody told them, this they shall see, and what they never heard, this they shall be, it will be proclaimed to them. This is a great grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord, we could hear it 1,000 years, and there would always be something new in it, which you and me touches your heart. There are many amongst us who not only a few days or weeks, but many years are serving the Lord already, having read his word. Time and again we find something new. This means something which was illuminated to us, which flashes like a light, and we may see the glory of our God in his word. What was never said, this shall be said to the nations and even to the kings, and they shall shut their mouths, for that which had not been told them shall they see. Oh, how wonderful and glorious. You all know the description of our Lord as Messiah starts in Isaiah 52, verse 13, and it ends there with chapter 53, with the last verses, which are not read always. But here, he's shown to us. But right afterward, it's written, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What good is it when the most wonderful and mighty things are preached, which we have not seen, which were never told, if they are not believed and received? The same Spirit of God who speaks out by the mouth of the prophet and says, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. But who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is the context. This is the transition. In that moment, where things are shown to us from the Word of God, which nobody has told before, which no one has seen before, then it's important that we believe it. And you all know, Ivan speaks about that, what the Lord revealed to our beloved brother Branham, then there are people who just say, oh, this I actually knew already. And actually, they don't know it precisely in that moment where they make this statement. Because if they would have understood the deep things what God did, then they would even, as written here, that kings would shut their mouths and they would listen carefully to that what is being preached and said. A man who already formulates his answer while that he could not have heard, learned. You all know it's a problem for itself. The man who is born into this world must learn many things. He must learn to walk. He must learn to eat. He must learn many things. But the hearing, this is there. He doesn't have to learn it. The hearing is somehow built in, automatically. And if we understand that God has opened the ear to his people, as the prophet said at another place, you have opened mine ear and I didn't resist. God opens unto us the ear to speak with us. But not only acoustically, but it shall go on a bit. Paul writes of the eyes of the heart, eyes to see, ears to hear. May God give it to you, and may God give it to me and you. And your heart, which believes and receives what he has spoken. Where kings or nobody knew anything of it, nobody has any told, this will be revealed to them. And they receive it and consider it. Also we considered it, and we may thank our God that we could believe the word of the sermon. And then it's a faith, as the scripture says. And this scriptural faith will bring forth something. Brother Branham speaks in this sermon, perfect faith. He says some things which all of us should be a blessing for us and as a strengthening. He reads the text which is all well known to us from Mark chapter 11, and it's written, Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. This is the condition when the faith shall be manifested in power, that we come into the presence of God. And it says here, not that we are faultless, without mistakes, but that we should forgive one another, because we were also forgiven from God in Christ Jesus. And so we should forgive one another. In fact, we should have forgiven already, not imputing anything to the other. You all know, the enemy, it is said of him, the enemy is like a juggler. And he's an artist. He can make, out of little things, he can make great things. And of a nothing, he can make a big problem, which one cannot cope with. But with the help of our God, and with a free access to the throne of grace, the faith in us must take the hand of God, and the confirmation of the word must follow. Then after this text, Brother Branham says, now, therefore, faith is grounded upon forgiveness. Perhaps we have not seen it like this yet, but this is the first sentence after reading of the Bible text. Therefore, faith is built upon forgiveness. A man who truly believes with all his heart, to him it was forgiven. And he has forgiven all, everyone, regardless whether they were praying for or not. You all know, there are things, some things we told the Lord, and we asked him for forgiveness already. But there are also unknown things which we could not tell the Lord. And nevertheless, we brought it to the Lord. For of all the known and unknown trespasses, we want to be cleansed. And the same applies to one another and amongst one another. We are living already a long time with that what God revealed to us. And we have the full confirmation of that. We didn't see it yet, although we must admit that God's word, in the deep soul we believe it, yes. And nevertheless, we have not yet seen that all promises of God were fulfilled. It is impossible that it's God's fault, because God said yes and amen to all the promises which he has given. That's how it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. For all promises of God is in him the yes, and therefore is also the amen through him. But to the glory of God by us. That's how it's written there. Here we are told, therefore, faith is built upon forgiveness. As we said this morning, we try to bring the church to the point that we truly can see the apostolic times in movement amongst us. We are all longing for it, hungering for it. This is not just a pious wish, but by the preaching, the faith came up in us. And we have heard the promises given to us. And by this, a spiritual hunger came up in us. And this claim, Brother Branham, not only made for himself, but he says here, as we said this morning, we try to bring the church to the point that we truly see the apostolic times amongst us in action. We are hungering for it. And then it says something which also strengthened me in my faith. He says, it lies straight before the door. We see it, but we want to see more of it. We want to have such a stream of it that it's a help for us and that it flows from us to others. This is that what's all about. Not that we ourselves feast upon the spiritual food, but as our Lord, that we can serve others and that God's word through us can find confirmation. His concern was to bring the church to the point. He has reached the point by the grace of God, and God helped him. He gave him revelations. He was speaking with him so that he had some kind of support in his faith. We have here a word of God which was so mightily confirmed, and it shall be confirmed still. And the final goal is therein to bring the church to the point that really the apostolic times can repeat amongst us and that we can see it. Once a preacher came to him and he said, you are preaching of an apostolic age. I want to let you know that this apostolic age is long time over. And Brother Branham asks him the question and says, when? I didn't hear it yet. And the man looks at him, could not say the date, the time, couldn't say. And then Brother Branham says simply, I will show you in the Bible where the apostolic age started, and then you will show me also where it ended. And with this, the conversation was finished. We may trust our God everything. And recently we spoke about it, that the church had to be restored to its original beginning. At this moment, I had no idea of this sermon. At least, I didn't read it yet. Or that what I said. But it says, we're longing for it to bring the church to the point that we really see the apostolic times amongst us in action. We are all hungering and longing for it. It's right at the door. We see it, but we want to have more of it. Didn't we read in the prophet Isaiah, in connection with Christ our Lord, that all the nations and kings will hear it, of nobody had spoken of what was said to nobody. This we may hear when Jesus Christ our Lord is exalted in our midst. With God all things are possible. He just wants to have a biblical faith in us, producing it in us, to then confirm his word. It continues, he bore our weakness. Carrying means to take them upon himself. You see, he bore them. He had all things as we have them. He had sickness. He had anger, upsettings, as we have them. Because he had to be a right advocate. Everything he had to endure before he could know it. We, of our Lord, we just want to speak of a divine perspective and also think about it in such a way. But when I read this tonight, that also our Lord walked this earth, had to go through many things, and it's even written the word he had upsettings as we have them. I don't know if he was upset, but people, they were taken care of. That he had to be like us in all things, he had to become like us, to be a faithful high priest and advocate. And this gives us comfort. It continues, and this is the last quote for tonight. Here it says, now we want to speak about the faith, about another kind of faith, the perfect faith. This is a great thing. Of faith, it is being said to us in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing. Without faith, you cannot be saved. Faith is something of which you must believe that it exists, and nothing else. But only faith will declare to you that it exists. I try now, in the next couple of minutes, to produce faith in you so that you are ready for the healing line. Faith must come forth by the preaching of the word in the people, being built up. And I think if we believe the promises of the word of God, hearing them, then we cannot do otherwise but to believe what he said. How often I've said the remark, God and his word is trustworthy. And if we trust no man anymore, not believing any man anymore, and we almost say, we shall be put to shame to ourselves and to others, then it's still written in the prophet Isaiah, and in Romans it says, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. Behold, I lay a cornerstone in Zion, and whoever puts his trust in him shall not be ashamed. If we put our trust in ourselves or on others, then we all shall be put to shame. But if we together put our trust in the Lord, then together we shall be strengthened in the faith, being strengthened, and one will learn the walking by faith, and we will trust the Lord that he will fulfill all the promises which he has given. Faith, which comes from the word of God, takes God at his word and sees the promises fulfilled as a reality. All promises of God are firstly a word, but God's word is not an empty space, but God's word is filled with the power of God. Our words are empty words, but what does our Lord say? The scripture doesn't make empty words, but God keeps what he promises. Firstly, the promise referred to the Messiah was just one word after the other, one promise after the other promise. And then there were many words of God and many promises, which all firstly were written in the Word. And when the time was fulfilled, all these words were united. And then it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we saw his glory. As it was with the Son of God, so it must become with all sons and daughters of God. The promises of God cannot just remain in words. They must and they will become a divine reality, manifested in your and in my life. It seems to me as if the Lord would call out to us, oh, that you could believe, you would see the glory of God. And I tell you, we can believe by the grace of our God. We may believe as the scripture says, and God will take care for the rest. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up and let us thank our Lord together. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart for the manifold thoughts of your word tonight. You have spoken to us, and your word never returned void, but it accomplishes for what you have sent it for. What nations have not heard, and what kings have not seen, and about which they will shut their mouths at, this your people heard. All whom you made kings and priests, whom you have called by name, whom you redeemed, we thank you with all our hearts, Lord. And we thank you also for it, that we not only have a general faith, because this faith have many, but the perfect faith in the perfect Word of God, in the perfect God who completes his work. Savior, let us understand that the things which your prophet said once, that they now truly are at the door, and that you bring us back into the apostolic times, back to the beginning. Lord, this you promised to restore, door into its original condition, to once again glorify yourself and to confirm your word. Thank you, O God, for your word and also for the message of the end time, for the revealed word. Hallelujah. To your name be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh God.
Oh God. Teach me to believe, Lord. Teach me to trust you as a child. Teach me to supplicate. You are my Lord and God. You know the trouble. Teach me to believe. Teach me to supplicate. Trusting you as a child. Teach me to believe, O Lord. You are my Lord and God. You know all the trouble. Once again, prayerfully. You are my Lord and God. You know the trouble. Teach me to believe, Lord. Teach me to supplicate in prayer. Amen.